this time. Would you look there with me, please? 2 Peter, we're in chapter 1. We're going to finish off this list that the Bible says we need to have in our life. We need to add these things, the Bible says, to our Christian walk. The life that God has planned for us needs to include these things in order not just to please Him, but God says if you want to be pleased, these are some things that will help you as well. Now look at verse number 5 with me, please. Actually, let's start with verse number 3. Says, according, I'm in 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Underline divine nature. That is what we're talking about here in the beginning of 2 Peter. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now we've looked at verse 5 and verse 6. We finished up verse 6 last week, where we saw the Bible tells us we need to add these five things so far. Virtue, which is the moral excellence, the Christ-like character of moral excellence. Knowledge, which is something that is continuous. When the Bible says knowledge, it's talking about the knowledge of the Bible. Knowledge of the Bible. That doesn't necessarily mean we need to go out and get 3 doctorate degrees in nuclear science. This is about the Word of God. This is about the things of God, adding knowledge. It is to be tested and exercised from, sifted through the Word of God, and it is increased by faith. We saw the Bible says to add temperance. Temperance is that self-control, exercising self-control, self-discipline, and it happens as we yield to the Holy Spirit. We saw that in the Bible. Then add patience, the Bible said. Last week we saw this one. Patience is abiding in faith to Christ in the trials or suffering, going through those trials, suffering. You mentioned this lady who had this surgery. That's a trial. Man, that is a suffering that she's going to have to deal with. And boy, she's going to deal with it without Christ unless she gets saved. And that's a tough thing. That's a lot of people don't deal with it. They deal with it in a very destructive way. But we can deal with things in a growing way if we seek to add patience. Then the Bible says add godliness, verse number 6. We discover godliness is that attitude and action which pleases God. The attitude and actions which please God. I really enjoyed looking on Sunday night at the very first part of Luke there where Jesus was called upon by His disciples. Remember that? Most of you probably don't remember that. He told them, here's what you pray. When you pray, so on and so forth. Well, the Bible says before that, He was already praying. Remember that? He was praying. And the reason why He continued back in prayer, went over and over again. Jesus, who knew the answers before He ever gave them out. You ever thought about that? Why did Jesus pray? He prayed because He loved the Heavenly Father. He wanted to please the Heavenly Father. And you and I can follow that example, God says, as we add godliness. Now let's take a look at verse 7 again, where the Bible says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. These are the two attributes, I believe, that tie it all together, that tie all these things together. Hey, we can have virtue, moral excellence. We can have knowledge. We can have patience. We can even have a godly attitude in the sense of trying to please the Lord. But the Bible says without love, what does it say in 1 Corinthians 13? Without charity, we're as a sounding brass and what? A tinkling cymbal. We are offensive. We're a nuisance. You've ever been in a concert before where they play these music and this thing, and you see that guy in the back with the cymbals. Remember, he's getting ready. The whole orchestra's playing along. Everything's going great. And then that guy, he sneaks over to the percussion area, and he very slowly picks up those cymbals, and you're just waiting for him to just bang them together, you know. Now, if he does it at the right time, it sounds great. But if he does it at the wrong time,
the whole piece. That's all you're going to remember. Oh, that was great, but remember that guy on the cymbals, man, he blew it. Well, God says, without love, even with all these other attributes, and he goes on in 1 Corinthians 13, which we won't look at necessarily, but how important it is in our Christian walk. So we want to look at these. Brotherly kindness, charity. What does God have for us about that tonight? Let's go ahead and see. Let's pray before we do, and we'll ask the Lord to, then we'll look in the Word of God after that. Father, we thank you that we can share your love. We can't do it without Christ, and we can't do it unless we're yielded to the Spirit of God. But as we are, I pray, help us to, it has to be our choice to do. So I pray tonight, even now, Lord, we would exercise the brotherly kindness, exercise the charity that we read about, and see it's possible. We ask, Lord, that you would use it to help us be better soul winners, better fathers, mothers, husbands and wives, children, friends, students, workers, or whatever hats we wear, Lord, I pray all these things would be seen in us, but yet help us to make that decision even on a daily basis to live for you. We thank you for what you're going to do tonight. I pray for the boys and girls in the back, Lord. If there's a boy or girl who needs to trust Christ, I pray tonight would be the night. We know it's possible for them to call on Jesus. And any others who need to make a decision for you, as children we always had to, make a decision to grow in you, and I pray tonight many would as you lead and guide. Thank you for what you're going to do now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Adding. We're adding to that precious faith. Man, I love that phrase, don't you? Precious faith. Precious faith. It makes it sound like it's very valuable, doesn't it? Well, guess what it is? It is valuable. Our faith is valuable. And here he says, add brotherly kindness. Let me ask some help, please, with some of these verses. Who would take Galatians 5, verse 13 and 14? Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. And Isaac's going to read that, his early birthday present for tomorrow. Pray for that. Romans 13, verse 8 and 9. Who would take that? Romans 13, verse 8 and 9. And Mr. Tony is going to share that. Thank you, sir. Then verse number 10. And Tony, as long as you're there, I want you to read that when we get to that one too, please. And we'll just give that to you. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. Who would take that? Daryl's going to read that. Thank you. Then we'll all go to Ephesians 4 when we get there. How about John chapter 3? There's two verses there, verse 16 and verse 35. So who would take John 3, 16, and then verse 35, those two? Miss Marcia McClintock. Thank you, ma'am, for taking that. Then John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. So a few verses there. And Wren's going to read that nice and loud when we get to it. Thank you. Then 1 John, the epistle of John, 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Sister Carolyn, going to take that. Thank you. And let me hand one more out, and then we'll look at this last one together. 1 John chapter 4, and then verse 20 and 21. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. Dale, Mr. Dale's going to read that one. Thank you, sir, when we come to that one. Okay, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Add brotherly kindness. This kindness, letter A here, this kindness is a fraternal affection for other believers. Other believers. Notice the word brotherly. Brotherly. What is he talking about? He's talking about you. He's talking about me and our tie in the family of God. This literally is the word Philadelphia. Here, brotherly, Philadelphia, kindness. This is that kindness and care for one another as friends, but also as family in the sense of we're tied together and God wants us to be kind to one another as a result. This kindness is a fraternal affection for other believers. This kindness builds other believers. So how does it do it? According to the scriptures, well, Romans chapter 13, first of all, verse 8 and 9 gives us a clue.
Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Okay, thank you. Anybody think those verses sound familiar? One of them should. It's our verse for the month of February, verse number 9. And the Bible tells us that kindness, number one here, is a responsibility from God. It's a responsibility. Those are commandments. Verse 9 was a command. And in verse number 8, he tells us here's a command for you to follow, to love one another, kindness. And he was using the same word that we read about, brotherly kindness. Same word. Philadelphia, love one another. Have a brotherly kindness to one another. Kindness, number one, is a responsibility. Number two, kindness does not seek harm or vengeance. That's not being kind. And verse number 10 of the same chapter tells us,
love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Okay, thank you very much. Sometimes we get in this idea that, man, vengeance is mine, saith me. Vengeance is the way I'm going to handle this. And I'll sweeten the pot a little bit before I spring the trap. Well, that's not kindness according to God. That's not brotherly kindness. That is certainly not from the Lord. God says, no, this kind of love, this brotherly love, worketh no, what does he say? Ill. We don't even want you to be sick, no matter what we do with one another. He says, we've got to share that love and care for one another in such a way where it brings healing, not harming. Healing, not harming. And kindness, brotherly kindness, helps do the job. Number three, kindness seizes opportunities to do good. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10.
If we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Okay, thank you very much. Kindness seizes opportunities. He says, to them to do good, especially to the household of faith. Who's that? Who's of the household of faith? Other believers. Yeah, just you and me. You and me. And God says not, well, I heard about a situation. Man, somebody ought to do something about that. But I'm too busy. I don't have the resources. So I guess that relieves me of any responsibility. Well, that's not what God says. That's not what the Bible says. When an opportunity comes up, now, an opportunity sometimes can be objective, and sometimes it can be subjective. Some opportunities are things that people need to take care of themselves. As a matter of fact, I got a call today from someone, as not in our church, but has visited our church. They visited us, and they haven't been in our church for years. Said, hey, you know what? I remember going to your church. You guys are so nice. My car insurance is about due, and I wondered if, blah, 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 the way the conversation went. I said, well, brother, our policy is that you got to be a member, number one. But in special circumstances, we've helped folks that are not members. But because of that, number two, you have to be at our church. You have to be attending. That's another thing that we're considering when we consider those things. And where are you? Where are you at, man? Where are you at? We need to see you. Well, he lives now in a different place and so forth like that. It's amazing. It's amazing. Sometimes we think opportunities are things that we should be taking care of ourselves. But when we can't, by the way, it's not a bad idea to ask for help. It's a good idea to ask for help. Why is that? Why is it a good idea to ask for help when it's needed? What does it do for other Christians? It gives them a chance to bless you and be a blessing, as God intends for us to do. He says, be kind, seize opportunities, especially to the household of faith. Number four, unless you think I'm an old ogre, I don't just say, the church is not an ATM machine, folks. That's not why you give, is it? You don't give for the church to be an ATM machine, but you do give to help those that we know that have needs, and we want to do that too. Kindness, it seizes the opportunities. Number four, kindness is needed in repentance and restoration with others. Kindness is needed in repentance and restoration with others. Let's look at this one together. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go there. Restoration and repentance. Repentance follows, or excuse me, repentance leads, then restoration makes it possible. It's possible after that. Verse number 30 is where we want to start when we look here in Ephesians 4. And would you read these with me, please, these three verses, verse 30, 31, and 32 of Ephesians 4. Let's read them out loud. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Verse 30 and 31, repentance. Put it away. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, bitterness, wrath, etc. All these things, let them be put away. That's repentance. Putting it away. Putting away. Changing our mind by changing and then changing our actions about it. We thought it was fun. We thought it was good. Now we see clearly it's not good. It's not good. And so we need to change our behavior. And then he says, after that, be kind, one another, forgiving, etc. Restoration. It needs kindness to be done properly in repentance and restoration. Brotherly kindness. He says, add that. Add that to your walk of faith. And then the final one he mentions in this list. By the way, this list is not exhaustive. Exhaustive meaning that's all we got to do and we're done walking the Christian life. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that was it? By the way, if that's all there was, that would take a lifetime to work on anyway, wouldn't it? All these things. Well, let's see what the last one is. He says, to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity. Now, brotherly kindness was that Philadelphia, that brotherly love, that friendship kind of love. This is the agape love. This is the kind of love. It's pure, it's holy, it's the kind of love that we see God display. We'll see that in just a moment. Agape love. This charity is benevolent and aiding in action, and not just to the believers, but to all. To all. It is not limited or necessarily cordoned for one particular group. God says this is a love that we need to have for everyone. By the way, the word agape is translated love or charity. Here it's charity. In 1 Corinthians 13, it's charity. Other places, it's translated love. 142 times in the New Testament, agape, you'll find it. 142 times. Think it's important to God that we behave this way? Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. God says it's important that we have this type of aiding love in action to all. This is the love God displayed when he sent Jesus. John chapter 3. Verse 16 and 35.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand.
Okay, thank you very much. In those two verses, the Bible says God loved two different people. Who are they?
The world.
The world. That's us. By the way, it's not the globe. It's not the dirt. It's not tree hugging, it's people. It's people. World means the population. So what was the other one?
His son.
His son. His son. Wow. So he loved us. He loved Jesus. But what did he do for us? Can you imagine that? He loved us both. Infinite, equal love. And yet it was his son who paid the price. And folks, we need to think about that sometimes. Amen? We need to consider that. How undeserving we are, but yet how gracious God is because of his love. He says that's the example. Love, it's the love that God displayed in sending Jesus. Number two, this is the love Jesus had in his sacrifice for us. John chapter 15, three verses, 12 through 14. Okay, thank you very much. There the Bible tells us she shared Jesus was telling his disciples, he's talking to them at this point. Actually, it was his apostles, those men, that small group. And he was telling them, greater love hath no man than this, than what? A man lay down his life for his friends. The very next verse, he says, ye are my friends. So what was he telling them? I'm going to lay down my life for you. And here's why. Because I love you. Remember, he said, greater love hath no man. This is the most, you can't make any better action or event or behavior than to lay down your life so that someone else might live. That's what Jesus did.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. So go back to John 3, and we see God loved us equally both, but yet it was Jesus that he gave up for sacrifice. But it wasn't a sacrifice to Jesus, it was a sacrifice for us. Because he loved us. He loved us. Did he have great pain? Oh man, sure did. And he felt every bit of it. But out of love, he made it for us. This charity is benevolent. It's aiding in its action to all. Let her be here. Let's go on. This love, this charity increases as my love for God increases. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 gives us a thought about that. Okay, thank you very much. Number one, my lack of love for God is revealed by my lack for others. My lack for others. It's not my lack of love. It's when I don't do anything for anybody else. It's clear that something's not right in my Christian walk. And here's what God says. If you don't have a love for others, you're showing that your love for me is very minimal, if at all. Man, look at all I did for you. And you've got some opportunities. You got some people right in front of you, live right next door to you. Maybe you go to work with them. Maybe you see them in the grocery store, the gas station, wherever, you know, that person. And I've given you a chance. I've given you a plan. And yet, because you don't love me so much, you're lacking in giving for others. Number two, if I love God, I will unselfishly love others. And same chapter, just a few verses down, 1 John 4 tells us about this, verse 20 and 21.
If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? For this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother.
Okay, all right. And loving the Lord is easy. Loving the brother is easy too, right? Not always. Not always. Lord's perfect. But man, we're not. We're not. What's the old saying? I heard on the radio actually one time. For those above, I forget how it goes. Oh, that will be glory. Does anybody remember that saying? I can't remember the first part of it. Something about when we get into heaven, what a glorified time it will be for those we love. But here below, for those we know, now that's a different story. That's a different story. Well, that's why God says you must choose. You and I must choose to love. It doesn't come automatic. It doesn't come normally. It's got to be a choice. God says, I can help you, but you have to be willing, yielded, and let me work. This charity increases as my love for God increases. And then the final thought here, letter C. This charity partners with obedience to help others and to follow the Holy Spirit. This charity partners with obedience to help others and follow the Holy Spirit. Hey, I'm doing this out of love. Well, if God says that's not the way to love someone or care for them, then It's not out of love. It's out of something else. There's a problem there. Turn with me, if you would, 1 Peter. We'll go back to 1 Peter and chapter 1. Let's see what God says about it here. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, charity needs to be partnered with obedience to help others and follow the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 22. Once you get there, let's read that together, please. We'll finish with this one together. 1 Peter 1:22. Let's read it out loud. Let's begin. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Charity, love. That's that agape love, by the way, right there. Actually, you have them both in that verse, but there's what he's talking about. Hey, let's exercise these things. Amen?
Amen.
Let's exercise these things. You know what? I need it. And so do you. We both need it. God says he wants to use us in people's lives and use us for God and please him. Well, some of these things are necessary to do it. So let's do that. And let's go ask his help. Let's go pray. Find a partner. Let's pray together about